Mitzvah Mezuzah is recorded in the Chumash in two different parshiyos, and those are the two parshiyos that we write in the parsha, in the piece of parchment of the Mezuzah, and those are the first two parshiyos that we recite in Kriyat Shema. The concluding pasuk in the first parsha reads "Achsavtam Mezuzah Beisechel Sharecha," and towards the end of the second parsha disappears again "Achsavtam Mezuzah Beisechel Sharecha." The Gemara tells us that the obligation to put a mezuzah on one's home applies both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz, outside of Eretz Yisrael as well. And Tosfos in Avodah Zarah raises an objection that the real place of the Jews' location should really be in Eretz Yisrael. And we have other psukim in Chumash where the term Beisecha only refers to locations where the Jews live in Eretz Yisrael. So they raise the possibility of a suggestion that maybe mezuzah outside of Eretz Yisrael is only with the Rabbanah. But then they're quick to say that it's not correct, because if you read the second parasha of Kriya Shema, it speaks about Tzchar V'Hayoyim Shamayim. It speaks about Tzchar V'Yonesh, that if we keep God's mitzvahs, we will be rewarded. If we violate God's mitzvahs, we will be punished. And then it says sometimes the punishment will be so severe, we will be sent into Golos. And then the next pasuk says that even when you're in Golos, outside of Eretz Yisrael, you should still maintain, still keep the mitzvahs. You should wear tefillin and you should have mezuzah. In fact, there's a famous comment that Rashi writes on that pasuk, that even when the Jews are not living in Eretz Yisrael, they're living in Golos, outside of Eretz Yisrael, the Novi tells us, Hatzivi loch tziyunim, we should continue to observe the mitzvahs of tefillin and mezuzah, so that when we return back to Eretz Yisrael, we won't be surprised, we won't be startled, we will still be used to performing these mitzvahs. And the examples that the Chumash gives of mitzvahs that we should continue to observe outside of Eretz Yisrael are tefillin and mezuzah. The observance of all of the mitzvahs, even though these are not agricultural mitzvahs, it's min hatorah, it's biblical that we observe the mitzvahs of tefillin and mezuzah outside of Eretz Yisrael. Nonetheless, the Navi Yirmiyah says, the Gemara quotes the pasuk, the Sifrei quotes the pasuk from Yirmiyah, that the idea behind the observing mitzvahs of tefillin and mezuzah when you're no longer living in Eretz Yisrael is sort of a preparation for the ultimate geula, that so that when we come back to Eretz Yisrael, they won't be strange to us. We shouldn't be surprised, that we should remember all the mitzvahs. So it's a biblical requirement to have the mitzvah of mezuzah fulfilled even outside of Eretz Yisrael. And the pasuk reads, "Achsavtam mezuzah," so you should put a mezuzah, what we call a mezuzah, you should put the parsha of Shema V'Hayom Shemaya on the mezuzah, means on the doorpost, Beisecha u'bisharecha, on your home, u'bisharecha, on the gates. What do you mean the gates? You only put the mezuzah on the gates of the home. What does bisharecha mean? The gates of what? So the Gemara explains the gates of Shari Chatzeres. The gate of a chatzah, let's say a person has a front lawn that's surrounded with a fence, and at the opening, the entranceway into this front yard, the backyard, whatever it is, he has a mezuzah. Mezuzah means that Tzuras HaPesach, means like an Erev for Shabbos purposes. The Gemara says what constitutes a Tzuras HaPesach for Shabbos purposes when you want to carry around a camp or a bungalow colony or a community. And you make a big Erev. So the frame of a door, even if there's no door there attached at all, the frame of the door is considered a mechitza, and the frame of the door is what's chayv a mezuzah. It's the same din of mezuzah. The Gemara makes an equation between a mezuzah for purposes of carrying on Shabbos and a mezuzah for the obligation to put a mezuzah on. So if you have economy kam, ekonagabim, you have the two doorposts on either side, and then the lintel on top, so then one would be obligated to put a mezuzah. So this would be true not only on the doorway that actually leads into the house itself, that the Shulchan Aruch, they point out that there were many people who made a mistake in the 1500s and they only had a mezuzah on the front door. If you would have a home that has 15 rooms, so they wouldn't put 50 mezuzahs, they'd only put one mezuzah on the front door. So the Ramah writes in the first sif in Shulchan Aruch that this is an improper practice, it's wrong, that the word Beisech and Chumash doesn't mean your home, Beisech means your rooms. If you live in one room, so you put one mezuzah. If you live in 15 rooms, so you put 15 mezuzahs. In Shulchan Aruch, they claim that one of the early Rishonim, the Rabbeinu Hananel, had a home which had 1,000 mezuzahs. It's hard to believe, 1,000 mezuzahs, that's what they said. He had many homes. Altogether, he had 1,000 mezuzahs. But maybe it's an exaggeration. They say the obligation to put a mezuzah applies to each and every room. So this we understand. One is obligated to put a mezuzah on the doorpost of the Tzuras HaPesach, of the frame of the door that enters into the Beisech, into the room that you're using. Let's say a person has a house with 20 rooms and he only uses 5. All the children are married and nobody is around. He only uses 5 rooms and the other 15 rooms are empty. So the Gemara says, you're not obligated to put a mezuzah on the other 15 rooms. A mezuzah chayvus hadorhi. You're only obligated to put a mezuzah if you actually live in the rooms. If you're not living there, you're not using them, you don't You don't need a mezuzah. Let's say I'm a landlord and I own an apartment building in Manhattan. I don't. But let's say if I would be a landlord, I would own an apartment building in Manhattan. I have many, many apartments with many, many rooms, 1,000 rooms. Maybe Rabbi Hanan was a landlord and had an apartment building. So let's say if you have a house that has 1,000 rooms, but I don't live in those rooms. I rent it out to the tenants. So the Gemara says, the landlord who's Jewish and observant is not obligated to put mezuzahs on the doors. That's their hishtamshus. If the tenants are Jewish and they want to use the apartment, then they'll put a mezuzah. If the tenants are not Jewish, they're not obligated to put a mezuzah. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, let's say I have a big home. I have a home that has 20 rooms and I have guest rooms. And every so often I have guests. And I have business associates who are not Jewish. And whenever there's a non-Jewish guest who comes to visit by me, I always put them in one room. So this room is always used only by non-Jews. Or let's say I have a sleeping maid or butler who is not Jewish, and the sleeping maid or butler always stays in the same room. So Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, that's my hishtamshus of the room. That's not that I am obligated to put a mezuzah in that room. Because these guests, these business associates who come, they're visiting me. It's not that they're using the room. That's the way I use the room, by housing my guests there. Or by having my maid sleep. I want the maid to be there the whole time. I don't want her to keep on traveling from her apartment. I want her to live in my apartment. So that's my hishtamshus. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, let's say, if a Jewish person has a nursing home, and he only charges the patients, I guess, or whatever you call the tenants, I don't know. He only charges the people who stay in the nursing home by the day, according to the number of days that they're there, whenever they're not there. It's not that he rents out, let's say a landlord rents out an apartment, so you have to pay your rent whether you're there or you're not there. Let's say you go away for a couple of months in the summertime, you go away on vacation in the wintertime, you still pay the rent. You have to pay the rent because you rented the right to use the apartment. So you're actually using the apartment, that's your hishtamshus of the apartment. It's not that the landlord is using the apartment. But let's say I have a nursing home or I have a facility where I only charge rent to the people day by day. If they're there and they use it, then I can charge them. If they're not there, then I can't charge them. Then Rav Moshe Feinstein says, so the fact that these people, even if they're non-Jews, the fact that I have non-Jews in my nursing home, that's my hishtamshus of the rooms. So Rav Moshe says that I'm mechuyif to put mezuzahs on the rooms, but the non-Jews stay. Like if in my home I have one guest room that's designated for non-Jews, that's my hishtamshus, that's my use of the room to have these non-Jewish guests visit in my home. So I'm obligated to put mezuzahs there.
Is that like having a hotel?
Same thing. If the nature of the hotel is that you can only charge according to the days that they're there. Right. Yeah. Now there is a discussion. Let's say a person lives in the city, and then in the summertime he rents a cottage in the mountains, and he goes to the mountains, and he's not going to come back to the city at all. So is he permitted to take off the mezuzahs from his home and use the same mezuzahs to put on the rooms of the cottage where he's going to be in the summertime? So it says in the Rishonim in Bava Metzia, the topic of mezuzahs is discussed in the end of Bava Metzia. Most of it is discussed in the Maamar Nochos, but a little bit at the end of Bava Metzia, where the Gemara discusses whether the landlord is obligated to pay for the mezuzah or the tenant. The Gemara says the tenant, not the landlord. So the Shita Mekubetzes quotes Rishonim and say at that Gemara, the end of Bava Metzia, that if I have 10 homes in 10 different locations in the world, I have a home in Switzerland and a home in Mexico and a home in the United States and a home in Monte Carlo, whatever. I have the homes all over the world. And I spend a month over here, a month over here, a month over here. So I'm obligated to have mezuzahs in all of my homes during the whole 12 months of the year. You don't say that you're only obligated to have a mezuzah during that time that you're there. If this is a home that you normally use, even though you happen not to be using it right now, that is called mezuzah chayves ador. Let's say when I had all the children, I have 9 children. When I had all the children home, so we used all the rooms. Now we don't use, now there are 1 or 2 rooms that we never use. So now I simply don't use those rooms. So the rooms that you simply don't use, you're not chayv to maintain a mezuzah. But if I have a home that I do use, I use it 1 month a year. So then one is obligated to maintain the mezuzahs on all of his homes all year long, even not during those months that he's using that room. So now the Gemara comments on this pasuk, that's where we start. Chsav tom al mezuzos beisecha ubisharecha. You should put a piece of parchment, what we call a mezuzah. You should place a mezuzah on the doorpost of the entranceway into the apartment. Not only the front door, into all the rooms. Every room needs ubisharecha means you have to put a mezuzah on the post on the side of the gate that goes into the front yard. Shari Chatzeres are obligated to put a mezuzah. Of course, if you have a Tzeres HaPesach, you have to have a frame which consists of a doorpost on either side with a lintel on top. Many times you just have the frame, you won't have anything on top. Then you're not chayv to put a mezuzah. But sometimes the the fences, the nature of the fence is such that you have the bar on top as well, then you're obligated to put a mezuzah. Unless you live in a neighborhood where you have concern that maybe some of the passers-by will rip off the mezuzah and throw in the garbage, then it says in the Gemara that they're not permitted to put a mezuzah in a location in the Mokum Sheni Mishtamer. The Shach lived in Vilna in the 1600s, so he says they never put a mezuzah on the front door outside facing the street because the non-Jews were in the habit of ripping off the mezuzah. So he says they always put the mezuzah on the inside of the door where the people walking in the street couldn't reach it. But if you live in a Jewish community and there's no concern about anybody ripping off your mezuzah, so then one is obligated to put a mezuzah not only on the doorpost that leads into the room that you use, even on the doorpost that leads into the front lawn, if the whole front lawn is enclosed by a fence, by a wall. So the Rosh, in his commentary on the Gemara, raises an objection. The Gemara says that if you have a bayis, a house, a room, she'ena mekura, that doesn't have a roof on top, then such a house or such a room is not chayiv to have a mezuzah. You're only obligated to put a mezuzah if there's a roof on top of the premises. So the Rosh asks, near the front lawn never has a roof on top? The kids play ball and everything over there? So there is no roof. So how does the Gemara say that one is obligated to put a mezuzah on the Shar HaChotzer, on the gateway entering into the front lawn? So here there's a major dispute among the early commentaries on the Gemara, the Rishonim, as to what the answer to this question is, the Rosh and the Rabbeinu Manoach. So the Rosh explains that if you have a house that doesn't have a roof, that's not normal. If you have a shul that doesn't have a roof, that's not normal. The normal way is to build a room or a house that has a roof on top, a tikra. So since it's not a normal type of living, so that kind of a bias doesn't count. You're not chayv in mezuzah, it's abnormal. But a front lawn, that's normal. Front yard, a backyard, that's very normal to have a yard that doesn't have a roof on top. But since that's normal, so one, for a chotzer, it's normal not to have a roof. So one would be obligated to put a mezuzah on the entranceway into the front yard or the backyard, despite the fact that there's no roof. In the commentary printed on the bottom of the page of the Rosh, they quote the Rabbeinu Manoach, who wrote a commentary on the Rambam, also one of the Rishonim. Rabbeinu Manoach gives a different answer on the question, which is totally, totally different, totally in disagreement with the Rosh. He says, no, if you don't have a roof, you're not chayv in mezuzah, period. It doesn't matter whether it's normal or it's abnormal. However, if you have a gateway that leads into the front lawn, and that front lawn is going to lead into the house. So not only is the door that's contiguous to the house, the front door of the house, leads you right into the living room, let's say, but not only is that door chayv in mezuzah, the door to the front yard is also chayv and mezuzah because it's one step removed from the house. The reason why the shar hachotzer is obligated to have a mezuzah is because it's a pesach for the bayis. The front yard itself is not chayv and mezuzah. If the door to leading into the front yard indirectly leads into the house, so you chayv and mezuzah not only on the doorpost. Which is contiguous to the house, you're obligated to put a mezuzah even on the doorpost that leads into the front yard, which is leading into the house. The big difference between the Rosh and the Rabbeinu, so they said the same thing for two different reasons. Everybody agrees, though, that the doorway that leads into the front yard is chayv mezuzah. The question would be, let's say in Eretz Yisrael, and here in America, many people have a mirpeset. You have an apartment, and then you have a porch, a gigantic porch. In order to be chayv mezuzah, the room has to be 4 amas by 4 amas. That's something like 7.5 feet by 7.5 feet. So if it doesn't have that size, then you're not obligated to put a mezuzah. So many times you have a porch that's not 4 amas by 4 amas. So there's nothing to discuss. So we'll get a little further discussion. But let's say you have a big porch that has 4 amas by 4 amas. Some people have gigantic porches in Eretz Yisrael in America, but there is no roof on top. So the question is, you go off from your kitchen or from your dining room and go on to this merpeset. So would one say that the merpeset, the porch, is obligated, one is obligated to put a mezuzah there because that's the normal hishtamshus of a porch, that you don't have a roof, like a front yard, like a backyard. Well, let's say a person has a house and he has a backyard that's enclosed, and the way to enter the backyard is by going from the back door of the house into the backyard. You don't enter the backyard from the outside. There's no entrance way from the outside from the street. You have to go into the house, from the house into the backyard. And the backyard is gigantic. It has an area of 4 amas by 4 amas. So would one say that you're obligated to put a mezuzah on the right side going out from the house into the backyard because the backyard is chayv and mezuzah? That's what the Rosh would say. Yes, the backyard is chayv and mezuzah. The merpeset, the porch is chayv and mezuzah if it has more than 4 amas by 4 amas. because that's the normal hishtamshus of a backyard and a porch that it doesn't have any roof. But according to the Rabbeinu Menoyach, it's not so. The Rabbeinu Menoyach insists that if you don't have a roof, you're not chayiv mezuzah. It doesn't matter whether it's normal or abnormal. The only reason why the front lawn, the front yard, is chayiv mezuzah is because indirectly it's once removed from the house, and the house has a porch. So the gateway that leads into the front yard is indirectly leading into the house. So that's why you chayiv mezuzah. But if you go out from the house into the backyard, you go from the house into the onto the merpeset. So you have no roof, so you're not chayiv mezuzah over there. So in such a case, according to the Rabbeinu Menoyach, his opinion would be that you have to put the mezuzah coming back in. You have to put you have to put the mezuzah on the left side going out to the merpeset, on the left side going out into the backyard. Why? Because the backyard is not chayiv mezuzah because it doesn't have a roof. So you have to put the mezuzah coming from the location which is putter into the location which is chayiv. So the house is chayiv mezuzah. So even though the only way to get into the backyard is by going through the house and then into the backyard, you don't put the mezuzah on the right side going out into the backyard. Backyard is not chayiv. The merpeset is not chayiv. But then when you come back in from the porch or from the backyard into the house, so then you have to put a mezuzah on the right side going in. So in Eretz Yisrael, this was a famous dispute between the Chazon Ish and Rav Elbel Soloveitchik. The Chazon Ish writes in his Sefer that when you have a merpeset, he thinks that we paskin like the Rabbeinu Menoyach. He thinks that we should paskin like the Rabbeinu Menoyach. So he says if you have a porch, a merpeset, or a backyard that doesn't have a roof, you have to put the mezuzah on the right side coming in, because we should pass like Rabbeinu Menoyach. Without a roof is never chayiv. And Rav Elbel Soloveitchik and Rav Moshe Feinstein did not hold like that. They felt that the psak should be like the Rosh, that since it's normal to use a porch, or it's normal to... Rav Moshe had a porch in his apartment, so he had the mezuzah on the right side going out onto the porch. The porch was a gigantic porch, it had more than 4 amas by 4 amas. So someone once asked him, either Chazon Ish says not so, so he said there is no such opinion. There is such an opinion. The Chazon Ish passed like the Rabbeinu Menoyach. The Rav Moshe didn't accept that opinion. He thought, and Rav Elbel Soloveitchik also, they thought that we should follow the opinion of the Rosh. This idea of putting a mezuzah on the left side going out means on the right side coming back in. It's a little funny. This was developed by many Gedolim independent of each other. Rabbi Akiva Eger, in his commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, as well as the Binyan Sion. Binyan Sion was a major posik, a famous rabbi in Germany, who's the one who gave smicha to Rabbi Simson April Hirsch, among other things. He did other things also, but he's known. I live in Washington Heights, so that's what he's known for over there. And several other poskim have this idea that when they discuss the following: let's say you have a walk-in closet, you don't put a mezuzah on the frame on the doorway leading into a closet, because you don't walk from the hallway into the closet. What if you have a walk-in closet? And you walk around there in the closet until you get the dress or the suit that you're interested in using. So then it depends how gigantic the walk-in closet is. If you have, sometimes you have more than 4 by 4 amas, sometimes you have less. So if you have more than 4 by 4 amas, then you put the mezuzah going in. Even though you don't actually do anything, let's say a person never gets dressed in the closet. They just hang up the clothes and they walk out, or they take clothes and they take it out. So that says in the Shulchan Aruch, that says in the Gemara, let's say you have a shed where you keep all of your groceries, or you have a room where the children keep all the toys, and the balabasta never does any mixing or cooking there. She just goes into the shed and she takes the groceries and she goes into the kitchen and she mixes whatever she wants to make. Or the children never play in this room. They take the toys from the shed and they walk into the bedroom and the den and they play over there. So the only use that the shed has is to go in and take something and to go out, but to put something back. They just keep on walking in and walking out every day, or every other day, pretty often. Let's say if I have a basement where I have my Pesach Tikkun dishes. So once a year I go to take the Pesach Tikkun dishes, and then I go after Pesach to put the Pesach Tikkun dishes back. And I have valises there. So whenever I go on a trip, so if I go every month to Kedonishtik, twice a week, every week I go on trips, I use it all the time. If I go twice a year, I go on a trip, so I use the basement twice a year. So such a storage room is not chayiv mezuzah. A beis ha'oitzer, a storage room, that you go in pretty regularly to take things, to leave things there. So that's also considered a hishtamshus that you chayiv mezuzah. So again, it depends how often you use the garage. So some people use the garage as a storage room and they leave their sukkah there and their Pesach Tikkun dishes there and the old bicycles there. They just leave things, they hardly ever go in. Once a month when they need something, they go in and they take it out. So then you're not chayiv mezuzah. But let's say you have a garage, you park your car every day, you go in, you go out. So the garage is chayiv mezuzah if it has a tzuras ha-pesach. You have to have a frame of a door with two doorposts that go like this, and then the one doorpost on top has to be like a Tzuras HaPesach for Shabbos purposes. So the Poskim discussed this. If you have a walk-in closet and the closet is big enough, it has the Dalet Amos by Dalet Amos, that's also a question. When you speak about Dalet Amos by Dalet Amos, does it mean 16 square Amos? It does mean no, you have to be able to inscribe a square of 4 Amos by 4 Amos. In the Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Yosef Karo claims that this is a dispute among the Rishonim, and he doesn't resolve it. And the Chazon Ish thinks that it's not correct. He thinks it's not a dispute. He says there never was such a machlok. He says you're not chayv. And others pass him that you are chayv. Any different things. The Chazon Ish says you're not chayv. Unless you can inscribe an actual square of 4 Amos by 4 Amos, you're not chayv. So let's say I have a walk-in closet, which is gigantic. It has more than Dalet Amos by Dalet Amos. So then the din is that you, and it's a closet that I use pretty often. Every day, every other day I go in there. So even though I don't actually do anything, I just take out a suit, I put in a suit. I never get dressed there, get under, I never do anything in. I just go in and go out. So still, that's a beisa oitzah shem's top kimenu. So you would put the mezuzah on the right side going into the walk-in closet. What if the walk-in closet is less than 4 amos by 4 amos? So then we assume that you're not chayiv in mezuzah going in. That's a machlokas. Most poskim hold. There's a minority opinion that a closet, since it's normal to make a closet less than 4 amos by 4 amos, so that would be chayv and mezuzah. But that's not the generally accepted opinion. The majority of the poskim hold that that's an absolute shear. If it doesn't have 4 amos by 4 amos, a lot of the closets in the yeshiva are walk-in closets in Yeshiva University. They have walk-in closets where the students hang their coats, but it's less than 4 amos by 4 amos. So they used to have the mezuzah one way, and then they changed it over the years. The rabbanim in charge of the mezuzahs. The different rabbanim. No one changed their mind, Chalila, but they changed the rabbanim in charge. So years ago, the rabbanim in charge used to paskin like those opinions that if it's a walk-in closet, even if it's less than 4 amos by 4 amos, it's chayv and mezuzah going in, because that has a normal hashtamshus. In the more recent years, the rabbanim in charge of the issue mezuzah committee have paskin otherwise, that the most of the paskin hold that it's an absolute shear. You always need 4 amos. So if you don't have the 4 amos by 4 amos inside the closet, so you're not obligated to put a mezuzah going in, but then you should put the mezuzah coming out. Even though there's no way, you can't go from the closet into the room without first walking from the room into the closet. There's no other entrance. It's a dead end over there, but nonetheless, it doesn't make a difference. That's what the Binyam Sion writes, and that's what Rabbi Kiva Eger writes, and that's what the Chazon Ish and several other poskim, each one independently of the other. Everybody writes like that. I remember years ago, Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein moved into a new apartment in Washington Heights on Fort George Hill. And he had to start putting up mezuzahs on a Friday. And as he was putting up the mezuzahs, he had this shaila, if that was the porch didn't have Dalet Amos, and he thought maybe you have to put it going from the porch into the apartment. So he said he called up Rav Soloveitchik on Erev Shabbos, and he said, yeah, he also concurred like that. Independently, he didn't realize that Rebbe Kivega had said that, and Chazon Ish said like that, and Binyan Sion. Apparently, many, many poskim are of this opinion. When you have a room that leads into another room, and the other room is not chayv and mezuzah, it's true you don't put the mezuzah on the right side, but then you put it on the left side. In other words, the right side coming back from the room that's potter back into the room that's chayv. So that's the story with the merpeset. If you have the porch or you have the backyard, and you go from the house onto the porch and into the backyard, the big dispute whether you put the mezuzah on the right side going out as soon as like the rush. That a backyard and a merpeset and a porch, it's normal to use a porch in a backyard without a roof. So the rush says you chayv and mezuzah going out. And the Chazon Ish thinks that we should not paskin like the Rosh. He thinks that we really paskin like the Rabbeinu Manoach, that without a roof you never chayiv, and in such a case you would put the mezuzah coming back in. I personally follow the Chazon Ish. I follow the Chazon Ish that he thinks that we paskin like the Rabbeinu Manoach. And Shulchan Aruch, the two opinions are mentioned. I think that's the more commonly accepted view, that a backyard that doesn't have a roof, you're not obligated to put a mezuzah. I remember in Broyers they used to have like that. We used to daven in the base medrash in the basement in Broyers. They used to have a backyard where the kids played. It had no roof, but it had walls around it. So they always, for years and years, for 50 years, they used to have the mezuzah, not 50 years, for 30 years, they used to have the mezuzah going from the base medrash, going out into the backyard. And then one of the rabbanim pointed out that the Chazon Ish says not so. So a month later they changed the mezuzah. They had a consult with Rabbi Breuer, I think he was still alive, this is a long time ago. And he said, okay, so they changed it. They put the mezuzah coming back in, because the backyard, he agreed, the backyard is not chayv and mezuzah, even though it had more than Dalet Amos al Dalet Amos, because it didn't have a roof. So the more generally accepted opinion is the view of the Rabbeinu Manoach.
Right.
regarding which side you put the mezuzah, so in the Shulchan Aruch, there are different rules and regulations, different klalim. So the first klal, they have five rules. The first klal, the first rule is you always put the mezuzah going from the location that you put there into the location that you have. Let's say you go from the street into the house. You put the mezuzah on the right side going into the house. You don't put it going on the right side coming out from the house into the street. The street is not chayav in mezuzah. Let's say a person has a house, and then he goes through the whole house, and then there's a back door. And he can go from the back, he can go into the front door, living room, dining room, kitchen, shed, back door, outside to the other side of the street, to the other street, or to a backyard with no fences. So some suggest you should put the mezuzah on the right side going out, on the right side going out from the shed out into the open space. So that's not the accepted opinion. You don't put a mezuzah going on the right side into nowhere. The open space is not chayav mezuzah. The other side of the street is not chayav. You always put, the rule number one is you always put the mezuzah on the right side going from the location where there's no chayav mezuzah into the location that is chayav mezuzah. But then what happens once you walked into the house already, and then the rooms are all in a circular fashion. You can either go to the right this way, that way, that way. You can go to the left this way, that way, that way. So how do you decide which way you go? So if there's only one way to go, let's say there's a room in a corner. There's only one way to go, you have to go like this. There's only one way to go, so you put the mezuzah on the right side. Even though both rooms are chayav mezuzah, you put the mezuzah going, entering into the room. There's only one way to go, so you put it like that. What if you can go either this way or that way? So then what determines where you should put the mezuzah? So in the most, I think, are of the opinion that the hierarchy of rules is the following. If you can go either this way or that way, it depends which room has more hishtamshus. Which room has more use? In the days of the Shulchan Aruch, in the days of the Shach, in the 1500s, 1600s, they didn't have central heating. Hadayam Azeh, in England, in Eretz Yisrael, a lot of houses don't have central heating. So you have, in the winter time, they used to have what's called in the Shulchan Aruch, a Tanur Beis Achorev. There was one room in the winter time where they had an oven, and the oven was on all day long, not for cooking purposes, but just to keep everybody warm. And the other rooms were freezing. So in the wintertime, everybody would be located in the middle room, and hardly anybody would use the other room. So that room that has more hishtamshus, it's considered as if you're going from the room that has less use into the room that has more use. Well, let's say you have a building, and you have hallways, and you have rooms. So the hallways, you don't use so much, you just walk from room to room. The rooms is where you really have the hishtamshus, the use of the house. So if it's possible to put the mezuzah, either into the room and then out into the hallway, or from the hallway into the room, you know, either this way or that way. Sometimes only one way to go. You go from the hallway into the room, and that's the dead end. What are you going to climb in through the window from the outside? You don't climb in through the window. So if there's only one way to go, so of course you put. There's only one derech halicha. But if there are two ways to go, so then you would put the mezuzah going from the hallway into the room, from the room that has less hishtamshus into the room that has more hishtamshus. Let's say you have a stairwell and you have a hall. So the stairwell is used, I know in yeshiva, the stairwell is used much less than everybody takes the elevator. Only Dr. Lam takes the staircase. He's encouraging the students to save the yeshiva money. They should all take the stairway instead of using the elevator, but nobody listens. So hardly anybody uses the staircase. Rabbi Tendler always goes on the staircase. He wants to exercise. But hardly anybody, none of the teachers, none of the students, nobody uses the staircase. So the stairwell is hardly ever used. And the hallways are used much more often. So if you have a toss-up, you can put the mezuzah either going this way or that way. You put the mezuzah going from the stairwell into the hallways, because the stairwell is used less than the hallways. Then if you have a toss-up, putting the mezuzah from a classroom into the hallways, or always into the classroom, so the classroom has more use than the hallways. So you put the mezuzah going on the right side from the hallway into the classroom. You have to make a survey. You have to take a survey. You have to take a survey to see which way. So the first rule is you always put the mezuzah on the right side, going from the location where there's no obligation of mezuzah into the location where there is an obligation of mezuzah. If there's an obligation of mezuzah in both, so then which way do you go? So if there's only one way to go, it's a dead end. So that's derech kinesis. So you put the mezuzah that way. What if you can go either this way or that way? So it depends on rov hishtamshus. Which way has the rov hishtamshus? What happens if it's more or less equal? And sometimes this changes. Like when I first got married, so we didn't have any children for the first few years. So we hardly ever used the dining room. So we only used the dining room on Shabbos and Yom Tov all week long. It was empty. Then when we had children, so the kids used to play, and later on they used to do all the homework in the dining room. So the dining room's used just as much as the kitchen. So then we had to switch the mezuzah. Originally we had the mezuzah on one side, going from the dining room into the kitchen, because we hardly used the dining room. And then later years, we changed it. We put the mezuzah on the other side, because of the next rule. The next rule is, if you use the room, both of the rooms are used fairly equally, and you can't really say that one is used more than the other, then what determines which way is there a halicha is which way would you go most of the time. Usually when people enter the front door of the house, usually they take this route, they go this way, then they go this way, they don't go around the left way. Or they usually go the left way, they don't go the right way. So you go according to Rov Hiducha, which way would the people go most of the time. And then if you used up all of these klolim, used up already the first four klolim, then the Gemara has another klal, another rule, that it depends on Heket Seer. Heket Seer means the following. If you walk in the hallways of Yeshiva University, you can appreciate this din. In the hallways of the yeshiva, there's a double set of doors in the middle of the hallway. So the traffic usually goes, in America, the traffic usually goes on the right side, no? People walk ahead on the right side. Not like in England, but the traffic goes on the left side. So as the students and the faculty are walking on the right side, you come to the doors in the middle, these are pull-out doors. The doors on the left side are push-in doors, so the people are lazy to pull out the doors, so the people will walk on the right side, then they'll switch to the left side when it comes to the doors, and they'll push in the doors. So that's what the Gemara has such a rule. If you have a normal doorway entering into the house, the door enters into the house. It's easier to push a door in than to pull a door out. Once in a while you have fakir. Once in a while you have a doorway that you pull out. But the Gemara assumes that a normal door, you push in if you're entering. So if you have a doorway and you have a toss-up, whether you should put the mezuzah on the right side or the left side, should I consider it as if I'm walking from room A to room B or from room B to room A? And I used already the first four rules, and everything's used up. I still haven't determined which way to put it. So then the Gemara says, you determine by the tzir, which way were the hinges set up, which way does the door go? If the door enters this way, so then it's considered as if you're entering that way. This is the way we assume in the Shulchan Aruch. Then there's a further question, what happens if you've used up all of the five rules and regulations, and you still can't tell which way to put the mezuzah? Let's say it's a swinging door. A swinging door on hinges, it doesn't go this way or that way. Or a sliding door. So you used up all the five rules and you still haven't determined which way to put the mezuzah. So, let's say there's no door at all, so you still haven't determined which way to put the mezuzah. So then what do you do? So then there are three opinions. So one opinion is optional. You put the mezuzah either on one side or the other side, whichever side you want. A second opinion is no, we would recommend you should put two mezuzahs. But since you used up all the rules and you can't determine, so you have to put the mezuzah on the right side and on the left side. But Moshe Feinstein was of the opinion that you're not chayiv in mezuzah. If he used all the rules and regulations and there's no way to determine it, so you're not chayiv in mezuzah. He published a tshuva to this effect in his sefer. So many years ago, before his sefer was printed, one of the big rabbanim from Torah Das came to Rabbi Moshe Feinstein and he said he has a shayla, exactly this shayla he described. What's the din? He has an apartment and he used up all the rules, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And he still can't determine which way to put the mezuzah. Rabbi Moshe put out an act and he said it's a good shayla. Maybe give me a few weeks and I'll think about it. A few weeks. You have to put up the mezuzah in the first 30 days. So this Rav came back, we'll get to that thing. So this Rav came back a month later, and he asked Rav Moshe, did you have a chance to think about it? So Rav Moshe asked him, what did you do? What did you do meanwhile? So he said, meanwhile he put down one of the walls. So Rav Moshe said, so leave it there. My personal opinion, I wrote a tshuva already 25 years ago, that you're not chayvim mezuzah. But I didn't want to tell you that a month ago, because I thought you'd think that I'm crazy. Such a strange psak, that you're not chayvim mezuzah, because you can't determine. We put a mezuzah up once, so leave the mezuzah there. Good, leave it the way it is. But that's what he has printed in his sefer. And in such a case, if you used up all the rules, so he thinks that that one is not chayv to put a mezuzah at all. There is an interesting discussion in the one Beis Medrash in First Hall on the third floor. There is an issue of mezuzah. Take for example over here, the wall on each side has a protrusion, one over here and one over here. This could really serve as a doorpost. Now, we happen not to have any pole that goes over on top. You have the ceiling, but the ceiling is the ceiling. That's not considered the kon al gabem. You have to have something separate from the ceiling to be considered the lintel, the upper post. So let's say you would have a beam over here and a beam over here, and another beam that goes directly above these two beams. Would you say that one is obligated to put a mezuzah in the middle right over here? So this happens to be a shul. The din is that a Beis HaKnesses, a shul, a mokum that has kedusha, you're not obligated to put a mezuzah. The Gemara says, strictly speaking, the Shulchan Aruch says that a Beis HaMedrash is the same as a Beis HaKnesses. If it's a location where you learn Torah, it has the same din as a location where you daven. So strictly speaking, one is not obligated to put a mezuzah. The reason why the minig is that we put a mezuzah on a Beis HaMedrash in the yeshiva, and we don't put a mezuzah on the shul, is because the Maharam Rittenberg, that was the Rebbe of the Rosh, and the end of the period of the Bali HaTesis, Maharam Rittenberg used to learn the Beis HaMedrash all day, and he used to have a cup of coffee, whatever, he used to have little cookies in the middle of the day. When it was time for a meal, he went home. But he used to sit and learn the Beis HaMedrash all day, so he used to nibble the whole day. The din is that it's permissible, because if you would go home, it would cause a bittul teretz. So he said, Talmid HaChachamim, while learning all day, I permitted to have a little bit of a... That's why the Beis HaMedrash is full of Snapple bottles and Coca-Cola cans and crumbs, because the students use this hefter. So he used to be in the Beis HaMedrash all day. So when he would sleep at night, a few times in a row, he had a dream that an angel appeared to him in a dream, and he complained, how come you sit and learn the Beis HaMedrash that doesn't have a mezuzah? So he woke up in the morning, he left it off, because the din in the Gemara is that a Beis HaMedrash is not chayv a mezuzah, has a hishtam shishal kodesh, he's not obligated to put a mezuzah, the same as a Beis HaKnesset. But he had the same dream a few times in a row, so he took it to heart, and he put a mezuzah. Then he had another dream the next night, the same angel appeared to him, and he gave him a yashikoya for putting a mezuzah on the Beis HaMedrash. So because of the dream of the Maharam Rittenberg, that's why we have a minig, it's not a din, that's why we have a minig to put a mezuzah on a Beis HaMedrash. That's a Beis HaMedrash that people use in a fashion of kviyas. Let's say someone told me the following shot, he's in a summer camp, and they have one bungalow that they only use as a Beis HaMedrash. But they don't sit, no one sits and learns a whole day in the summertime in a bungalow. This group comes in for 25 minutes and they learn. Then half an hour later, another group comes in for 45 minutes and they learn. Nobody really sits and learns there a whole day long. So in such a case, there isn't even a minute. One would not be obligated. If next summer they decide to use that bungalow as a game room or something else, then they'll put a mezuzah. But the summer that is designated for Hishtamshus, Shal Kedusha, all they're going to do is learn there, and no one person is going to sit and learn for a couple of hours. They had no yeshiva, there was no kaila, there weren't people sitting there. They had classes there. Each group came at a different hour for a short class, and then they left. So in such a case, there isn't even a minhug. Really, this minhug that we have to put a mezuzah on the doorways of the Beis HaMedrash is really a big problem, because the Gemara says that whenever one has a dream, we should ignore all the dreams. If you have a dream, the Gemara even has the following case. I have a dream that my rich uncle buried $1 million under the tree. If I walk 20 feet over here and 30 feet to the left and so on, then I'll dig 100 feet in the ground, I'll find $1 million, and I should know that $1 million is hegdish, that my uncle declared it as kodesh, or it's my sasheni money, he used it to be paid in my sasheni. Or I have a dream, my uncle buried the money there, and the money really belongs to Yankel. It didn't belong to my uncle. My uncle is dead now, so I can't consult. So I go and I dig, I go 50 feet this way, 30 feet that, I dig 100 feet under, and lo and behold, I find all the money, exactly as it's described in the dream. So the Gemara says, Direch Halayim Islamala Velam Aridin, you can forget about, if not for the dream, I would never know in a million years where to find the money. It doesn't matter. I take the money and I pocket it. I don't have to observe the second half of the dream, that the Malach, whoever, someone told me in a dream that it's Hegdish, or that it's my Sasheni, that it belongs to somebody else, you have a right to ignore dreams. That's what they tell the story about Rav Chaim Volozhiner, that a merchant, a Jewish religious businessman, used to travel, he used to sell logs. So he used to travel by boat in his business, and his business didn't say. He was up for a trip, for a major trip, and he had a dream. He kept on having, first he had a dream that if he's going to go this time by boat, the boat is going to sink. The boat is going to crash and it's going to sink. So yes, Rav Chaim Volozhiner, what should he do? So he said, just forget it. It's okay, you can take the boat. Then the next night he had the same dream. He came again. What should I do? So he said, forget it. Don't worry about it. Then the next night he had again the same dream. So he said, I told you, forget about it. Don't worry. He took the boat and the boat crashed and he got killed. And they came to Rav Chaim Volozhiner and they said, hey, you told our father that he should go. He shouldn't worry about the dreams. And here he just got killed exactly as it was described in the dream. So he said, that's what it says in the Gemara. If your father would come to me now, I'd tell him again a fourth time to forget about the dream. He said, you ignore all the dreams. The Gemara says you have a right to ignore all the dreams. They're all insignificant. Nothing counts. So that's the question. To what extent do we rely on the dreams that the Rishonim had? The Maharam Rutenberg had a dream that the angel came and complained to him why he was studying in the Beis Medrash all day long. The Beis Medrash didn't have a mezuzah. So because he had the same dream 3-4 nights in a row, so he finally put up a mezuzah. And then the angel came another time and gave him a yashikar. So that story is recorded for posterity in the Shulchan Aruch, and that's where our minhag comes from, that we put a mezuzah on a Beis HaMedrash. Why should we be worried about the dreams? Why don't we just ignore? He had other things also that he had dreams about. So some of the dreams that about other halachic issues. So sometimes in the Shulchan Aruch, when they quote his dreams and his position based on the Malach, So the Shach says, Hagwash, forget about the dreams, the angel is also an Amorat. There are people are Amoratim, there are angels Amoratim, especially angels in dreams, forget about it, it's insignificant. And other times over here, we sit there about the dream, here we are Makbit. So that's a whole literature about that. Because one of the Rishonim wrote a sefer that's called Shabbos Tshuvas Min HaShemayim. He was known as the Rabbi Natam. His name was Yankiv. He was one of the later Balei HaTosis. He's also known as Rabbi Natam, Yaakov Ishtam. And he used to have dreams every so often where he would ask angels in his dreams, what's the din about Tzvum the Rabbi Natam? What's the din about Tzvum HaKalamai? Chveis Yidab Nusach Ashkenaz Nusach Svard. All the famous issues that are major disputes in the Shulchan Aruch. Different minhagim. So he asked the angel, and the angel would give him answers on all these things. So he recorded all of these. It's called Shabbos Hatshuvos Min HaShamayim. So that's a big discussion in the later poskim. To what extent are we supposed to follow what he was told in the dreams? So let's say again, if one were to have, let's say, a room like this, a shul is not chayv mizuz. So this room is not chayv mizuz. Let's say, have it in the middle of my living room. Sometimes you have like that, a beam over here, a beam over here, and then there's a beam on top, not just the ceiling. The ceiling doesn't count. You have another beam on top. That's called the Tzuras HaPesach. That's what the Gemara says. Kona mikam, kona mikam. Kona is a pole, and the kona, al gabem, there's a pole on top. Would you be chayv to put a mezuzah on either on this beam or that beam if you determine which way is the right side? So it says in the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch that it depends. If you have, let's say, a beam, the two beams like this, and the cross beam on top, and it separates the room into two parts, and this part of the room I use as a living room, that part of the room I use as a dining room, or this I use as a dining room, that I use as a den. So if it has a different hishtamshus, then you put a mezuzah in the middle. But if it's one big room, you just have a long dining room table, we use it as one big room, that's half of the dining room, this is the other half of the dining room. So then the fact that it has these beams on the side doesn't mean anything. It's considered one big room, it's not considered two different rooms. That's an issue, let's say, when you make an Erev around a bungalow colony, an Erev around a camp, an Erev around a city for that matter. Would one be obligated to put a mezuzah on every pole? Because the Gemara said the definition of a frame of a door for mezuzah purposes is identical with the definition of a frame of a door for Shabbos purposes to prevent you to carry. So let's say you made an Erev, what we call in Yiddish an Erev, you made an Erev around an area to be permitted to carry on Shabbos. So every section, every segment of the Erev is a frame of a door. That's exactly why it's considered like a mechitzah and you're allowed to carry. So are you obligated to put 100 mezuzahs, 1,000 mezuzahs, every time there's a another mezuzah. So when you make an Erev, not only does it cost the money to put up the Erev, you have to have a mezuzah on every bar. So it's going to cost you another $35 for every pole. That's a question. So the Nesivus writes in his, he has 1.5 pages on Hilchas Erev. The Nesivus was a rabbi in the community, and he had to check the Erev. It's his responsibility. So he has 1.5 pages in the end of another sefer that's called Tikkun Erevin, and every half a line is another din. Sometimes he explains the dinim, sometimes he doesn't explain the dinim, and this is always quoted by the later poskim. If you wouldn't see the 1.5 pages, you would think that it's a tremendous big sefer. It's only 1.5 pages, but he has so much to say, and he's always quoted, that's called the Tikkun Erevin. Tikkun Erevin, how to make an Erevin. So he discusses this issue. When you have an Erev around a city, is one obligated to put a mezuzah on each pole? So he says, no. The Erev doesn't change the hishtamshus between the inside and the outside. The trucks go in, the trucks go out, the kids play ball, and some of the players are inside the Erev on the weekdays, not on Shabbos. Some of the players are in the Erev, some of the players are out of the Erev. The non-Jews don't even realize that there's an Erev. It doesn't make any chiluk hishtamshus whatsoever. So he says if it's just a Tzuras HaPesach and it doesn't make a chiluk hishtamshus, you're using this side and that side all together. It doesn't really separate the two locations into two different types of usage. So then the Nesiva says that one is not obligated to put a mezuzah. That's for halacha purposes, yeah, but in common sense terms, if you ask a non-Jew, does it make a difference over here and over here? He says, no. If you'll come to my house and say, yeah, this is the dining room and this is the living room. But if I'll come, let's say, to this room, he says, no, it's all one big room. Even if you'll have a crossbar on top, say, no, it's all one big room, it's used as one thing. So if you have an Erev that's practically invisible, it doesn't really affect any change whatsoever in the two areas. Al pi halacha, it makes a change that you're allowed to carry here and not allowed to carry there. But all week long, it doesn't make a change. So the Nesivus writes in his sefer, he thinks that in such a case, one is not obligated to put a mezuzah. The Chazon Ish does not accept his opinion. He thinks that whenever you have a frame of a door, you have to put a mezuzah, even if it's in the middle of the room, and you use it as one big dining room. He thinks that you do have to put a mezuzah. But the practice is not like the Chazon Ish. The meaning is like the Nesivos. So the Chazon Ish asks, how come, according to my opinion, how come we never saw any community in Europe that will have 100 mezuzahs on every post of the Erev? So he says, no, that's a different reason. Because one is not obligated to put a mezuzah, and one is prohibited to put a mezuzah in a location where it's not mishtamer, where you're afraid, let's say it's going to rain and snow on the mezuzah is going to ruin it. Or you're afraid that the non-Jews or the Jews, the Bahachasnikis, will take down the mezuzah and throw it out in the garbage. They'll be mevazeh. So you're not obligated and you're not permitted to put a mezuzah if the location is eino mishtamer. So the Chazon Ish says, what are you going to put 100 mezuzahs on every pole of the Erev? And all winter long it's going to rain and snow on it, and even if you put it in a good case, it's still it's going to be eino mishtamer. Says in the summertime the sun is going to beat down on it because there's no protection. So he thinks that's the reason why the minig is that people don't put mezuzahs. He thinks meikar adin, you really chayv mezuzah on every pole, and the reason why you don't is eino mishtamer. But the generally accepted explanation is not the way he said. Generally it's assumed the way the Nesivos said, that one is not obligated to put a mezuzah on the frame of the door if it doesn't really make a separation in use between the inside and the outside. The Gemara speaks of rolling up the mezuzah. So the Gemara says when you roll up the mezuzah, you have to roll it this way and not that way. You roll up the mezuzah from Echod towards Shema. So when you open the mezuzah, the first thing that you're going to see is Shema Yisrael. You don't roll it backwards. So that the first thing that you see when you open up is going to be Echod and then roll it back. So the Gemara clearly in Shulchan Aruch talk about rolling up the mezuzah. Now there's a new thing. People think that it's fancier to leave the mezuzah not rolled up at all. So in order that the mezuzah shouldn't get ruined, so they put a see-through plastic cover or a glass cover on top and a fancy ornament on the side, and you can see the whole parsha. So is this acceptable or not? So some Rabbanim are of the opinion that it's acceptable, but it's a violation of the minhag. It's an ancient minhag in the days of the Gemara in the Shulchan Aruch that you roll it up, so you should do the way it says in the Gemara. Rabbi Soloveitchik, Zuchan Lebracha, thought that you're not yotzei the mitzvah. He thought that it's not just a violation of the minhag, he thought that that is the halacha. That if you don't roll up the mezuzah, you're not yotzei the mitzvah. Now the Gemara says that the mezuzah has to be attached to the doorpost in a bekavadika fashion. You shouldn't hang on the mezuzah in a bizoindik fashion. Which way is bekavadik, which way is bizoindik? The Gemara speaks about having the mezuzah in an erect position as opposed to having the mezuzah in a lying down position. So one way is respectful, and that's the way you should put the mezuzah. And the other way is considered a bizoindik position, and you're not even yotzei b'dyavad. The question is, which way did the Gemara say is good, and which way is it no good? So that's a famous dispute between Rashi and to the mitzvah. Rashi in the Gemara learns that this is the same with respect to the Sfarim and the Aron Kodesh. Let's say you have an Aron Kodesh, so which way should you put the Sfarim? So Rashi says the Sfarim should be standing up in an erect position. The Rabbi Natan says just the reverse. The mezuzah should really be in a flat position. Why do you make the mezuzah stand the whole time? It's going to get tired. You have the mezuzah in a resting position, in a flat position. You have the Sefer Torah standing on the two legs. Standing all the time is going to get exhausted. So more bekavadik the Rabbi Natan says is, it doesn't really make a difference. This way it is, but which way looks more bekavadik? So the Rabbi Natan interprets in the Gemara that more bekavadik is that the Sefer Torah in the Aron Kodesh of the Rabbi Natan were laying down flat as opposed to standing up. Same thing, let's say you have books in a bookcase, Sfarim in a bookcase, and you put the Sfarim in a bekavadik position. So Vos Heis bekavadik position. So according to Rashi, more bekavadik is that every Sefer should be standing up like a soldier. According to Rabbi Natan, no, every Sefer should be resting in a resting position, not in a standing position, it should be flat. And the same issue is regarding the parshias and the tefillin. When you have tefillin, both the shalyad and the shalrosh, Rashi's opinion is the parshias should be standing up, and the Rabbeinu Tam in an erect position. And the Rabbeinu Tam says no, they should be lying sideways. So regarding the tefillin, there's no way to make a compromise. Either you do like Rashi, you do like the Rabbeinu Tam. Regarding Aron Kodesh also, there's no compromise. So we have adopted the position of Rashi. So in the Aron Kodesh, we have all the Sefer Torah in a standing position, not in a resting position. And the parshios and the bottom of the tefillin are also in a standing position. Regarding the mezuzah, the Gemara has the following statement. If you put the mezuzah in a bekavadika position, that's the proper thing to do, and you're yotze. If you put it in the other way, the bizoindik position, you're not yotze. And there's the question, which way is the kavodik, which way is the bizoindik? Rashi and his grandson, Rabbi Mikam. And then the Gemara says, however, if you put it ba'alachto, if you put it in a diagonal position, in a leaning position, halfway in between erect and the resting position, then b'di'evit you would be yotze. B'di'evit you would be in fulfillment of the mitzvah. More correct is to do it the more correct way, whatever that means. Either according to Rashi, erect, according to Rabbi Natan, really resting. But the Gemara says, b'di'evit, if you put it in a leaning position, that's called balasim, one would be in fulfillment of the mitzvah. So on the side of the Gemara, they have printed, in Menachos, they have printed the commentary from the Balei HaTesis, that's called the Shita Mekubetz. It's a liquid, it's a collection of comments from the Balei HaTesis. So they record that that's why their minhag was, it's not a din, it's a minhag. Although the din is like Rashi, that the Sifrei Torah and the Aron Kodesh are standing in an erect position, and the Parshas and the Tefillin we do like Rashi, Parshas are in a standing position. But in order to satisfy both Rashi and the Rabbi Natan, we follow what the Gemara says is only for the Yevid, we put the mezuzah in a diagonal position. Because by doing like that, even the Rabbi Natan will be satisfied. The Gemara said the Pharisee said it's good. It's only good for the Yevid. They said it's better to do the mitzvah b'di'evet than to do it in a mehudatik way, which Rabbi Natan would say that you're not yotze at all. So that was the decision of the Balei HaTos. That was the minhag for several centuries, till the times of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon says, why do you have to satisfy the Rabbi Natan? We don't accept his opinion. So the Vilna Gaon said, no, let's put the mezuzah the way Rashi said, the way we put the Sifrei Torah and the Parshis in the Tefillin, erect. So put the mezuzah erect. So that was his practice, and many followers of the Vilna Gaon also do like that. They don't put the mezuzah in a diagonal position. Diagonal is not recommended l'chatzila. The Gemara says a diagonal position is good b'di'evet, and the reason why we have adopted that as a minhag to put the mezuzah in a leaning position, diagonal position, is to satisfy the both opinions, namely both of Rashi and the Rabbi Natan. But more correct, the Vilna Gaon says, more correct is we follow Rashi. What do you have to be concerned about all the other opinions? See, this is an attitude. This is a general attitude. The Vilna Gaon felt that he had the ability to paskin on a machlokes. He said the din is like Rashi, so forget about the Rabbi Natan. And all the others, all the other Rishonim before and after the Vilna Gaon used to sit there and say, how can we take a stand on a machlokes? We should always try to do things in such a way that we should satisfy all the opinions. That was a tradition from the Hasidic Ashkenaz. That was a tradition from the later Balei HaTosfos. That's the Shita Mekubetz. It's also from the Hasidic Ashkenaz. To try to, on the second night of Rosh Hashanah, there's a machlokes whether you say Shech Yonah when you say Kiddush. So the Hasidic Ashkenaz introduced, you should put a pre-chodosh, put a new fruit on the table, or buy a veget chodosh, buy yourself a new garment, so for sure you say Shech Yonu, so no shayla. Or many things like that. There's a machlokes when one is making cake, and you only mix in juices, you don't mix in any water, is one obligated to be mafresh chala or not? So that was a machlokes in the days of the Tanoim. And that was a machlokes in the days of the early Balei HaTos. That was repeated in the machlokes in the days of the later Balei HaTos. What should the psak be? If you didn't use any water at all, you didn't use any of the Zayin Mashkin. You only used juices, made peiris, and machlokes HaTanoim in the Mishnah in Chala, in Yerushalmi, whether you have a Chala or not. So the Maharam Rutenberg recommended you should always put in a few drops of water. What do you have to get above the machlokes? Pour in a little water, nice machlokes. So this was an attitude of the Hasidic Ashkenaz, and you find in the Mishnah Brura a lot like that. And before the Mishnah Brura that the Poskim say, try to do things in such a way that you satisfy all of the opinions. And Vilna Gaon didn't have that attitude. Vilna Gaon said, I have the ability to be machri, I have rai. He says, Rashi is right. So Rashi is right. Try to put the mezuzah in an erect position. And he felt that you're not mechuyev to be choshish, to be concerned about the other opinions. They're not accepted. That's what we quote the famous statement from the Vilna Gaon. They asked him, how come Vilna Gaon used to wear tefillin the bulk of the day? He didn't just wear tefillin during Shabbos and take it off. What's tefillin a good part of the day? So someone asked him, if he's wearing already so long the tefillin, why doesn't he wear tefillin the Rabbi Natan? Rabbi Natan has a different opinion about tefillin. Many chassidim, at the end of the davening of Shacharis, take off their regular tefillin, which are according to Rashi, and they wear the tefillin the Rabbi Natan. That's the way it's recommended in the Shulchan Aruch, you should wear tefillin the Rabbi Natan. So the Vilna Gaon said, why should I wear tefillin the Rabbi Natan? We don't accept the opinion of the Rabbi Natan. If you're going to be concerned about maybe the din is like the Rabbi Natan, maybe I should do that, then I would have to wear 64 pairs of tefillin, because there's a shaila whether the parsha should be like this or like that, and then so that's already, you have to have two pairs of tefillin, the Rashi, and two pairs of tefillin the Rabbi Natan. Tefillin the Rabbi Natan is the question, which seder ha parsha is, how you write the parsha. Then there are other disputes about psuchas and stillness in the middle of the tefillin. How do you make psuchas and stillness? He says it would turn out to wear, you would have to wear 64 pairs of tzitzis. He said, what do you want me to waste my time? I wear Rashi's tefillin, that's the dinner finished. The Vilna Gaon always had that attitude. Whatever the dinner is, that's the din. They're erect. No, no. We don't follow the tefillin. The Rabbein Tam only follow the Rabbein Tam's opinion, only half Rabbein Tam on the Seder HaParashia, that it's Kadesh v'hayoyim v'yoki v'yachol v'hayoyim shemoa shema. Instead of having an order, in the order that they appear in Chumash Kadesh v'yoki v'yach shema v'hayoyim shemoa, the Rabbein Tam has the two v'hayoyos, the two havayas, the two parashas that begin with v'hayoyim, he has them next to each other. But the Rabbein Tam himself, who wore tefillin, the Rabbein Tam had the parashas in a reclining position. But today, people who wear tefillin, the Rabbein Tam are only choshish for the Rabbein Tam's view regarding the Seder of the parashas, not the Rabbein Tam's opinion about having the parashas in a reclining position. So it's not really the Rabbein Tam's tefillin. It's half Rabbein Tam's tefillin. The Gemara says that when you put the mezuzah up, you should put it Bishlisha Elyon, in the upper third of the doorpost, as all the mezuzahs are done. The Gemara says you have to be careful. It should not be within the upper tefach, within the top 3.5 inches. Sometimes you put the mezuzah so high, the case doesn't matter where the case is, but the beginning of the cloth, the parchment, should not be within the upper 4 inches of the mezuzah of the doorpost. The Rambam had a different reading in the Gemara from what we have. The Rambam writes that not just you should put the mezuzah anywhere in the upper third of the Shlisha Elyon, anywhere in the upper third except for the upper Tefa. The Rambam had a Girsa, he had the reading of the Gemara that it should be Betchilas Shlisha Elyon. Right, at the beginning of the upper third. You have to go take a tape measure and figure out exactly, usually if you judge using the naked eye, where is the beginning of the third, so you're going to judge wrong. The beginning of the upper third is much lower than you would guess that it's going to be. So if you would be short, little child would have guessed differently, but adults or taller always guess that the upper third is higher, closer to them. It's really much lower. So the Shach and his commentary on the Shulchan Aruch here, they recommend that one should follow this Rambam to put the mezuzah b'tchila shlisha at the beginning of the upper third. That's how the Beis Halevi also writes in the Sefer Chumash, there's a section dedicated to Hilchas Mezuzah. He also recommends that one should try to follow this opinion of the Rambam to put the mezuzah at the beginning of the tchila shlisha, at the beginning of the upper third. If, however, Tosis quotes from the Yerushalmi and the Shulchan Aruch quotes, let's say the entrance to the house is such a tall gate, it's 30 feet tall, so you're going to put it the tchila shlisha, it's going to be 20 feet up, it's going to be 21 feet up from the, it'll be hard to see it. So then it says in the Yerushalmi, you don't put the mezuzah. In such case, you don't put the mezuzah b'tchila shlisha elyon. Shulchan Aruch says, you put it keneged haktefayim. Basically, that's the rule. You never put the mezuzah higher, whatever the explanation is, the Avnei Nezer has a whole discussion, you never put the mezuzah higher than keneged haktefayim. Wherever the shoulders are, that's it. Even if the door entranceway is much taller, in such a case, you wouldn't put it b'tchila shlisha elyon. What is the idea behind the mitzvah of mezuzah? So the Gemara tells in Avodah Zarah, Mark tells a story about Achilles Hager. He was a Roman, a goy, who converted, and he was a nephew of the emperor. So it was against the law, it was against the government law to convert to Judaism. So he converted, he became a Jew, so the emperor sent soldiers to arrest him. They went to arrest him and put him in prison or kill him, whatever it was. So they opened up, so the Gemara tells a story, when he walked out of his house, he said, he's under arrest. Okay, so they put a handcuff, they're taking him out, whatever. So as he walks out, he kissed, the Gemara says he touched the mezuzah, didn't say kiss. Gemara says he touched the mezuzah. So the soldier said, hey, what's that? They said, oh, you don't know what that is. So he started to give him a whole explanation. My religion is different from your religion. I used to be a member of the Roman religion, whatever, now I'm a Jew. You see, in your religion, the God is inside of the church. And the adherents to that religion have to stand outside to protect the God, that no one should steal him. God was made from gold or silver, whatever their other desires were made from. They have to make sure they don't steal it, they don't beat it up, they don't break it. In our religion, we live in the house and God stands outside and he watches over us. So the soldiers were so taken by this concept, they all converted to the Jewish religion and they didn't bring him back to the emperor. So the emperor sent another group of soldiers and he said, go arrest my nephew and don't ask him any questions, because he heard what happened the first time. Don't ask him any questions. So again, they went to arrest him and he's walking out of his house. So he touches the mezuzah. They didn't ask him anything because they were under instruction not to ask anything. So he said, "You must." So he started the conversation. "You must be wondering, what am I doing? Well, I'm going to explain to you what this is." He gives him the same spiel that he told the first soldiers. So they were so taken by that, they also converted. So the emperor sent a third group, the Gemara, the emperor sent a third group of soldiers. And he said, "Don't carry on any conversations. Don't ask any questions. Don't listen to any answers. Just arrest him and bring him here." So that's the end of the story. So then what's the moral of the story? So in the Shulchan Aruch they say, you see from this story that there's an inyan in touching the mezuzah as you're walking in or out of bounds. Then in Shulchan Aruch they have in the later generations they used to touch the mezuzah and kiss the mezuzah. But in the earlier generations they just used to touch the mezuzah. Rabbi Soloveitchik used to joke about that, that people kiss the mezuzah, it's a minute. He used to joke, he used to say, "May the Lord bless you and keep you, you want to kiss the mezuzah, fine, but you should be careful if your mezuzah has one of these fancy cases, and it has a hole in the middle, and the parchment is sticking out, and you can touch it with your bare hands, that's against the halacha. You're not allowed to touch the parchment with your bare hands. If the mezuzah has a case, here it has a metal case or a plastic case, whatever, so you're not really touching the parchment inside, you're touching the cover, so that's acceptable. But if you have the fancy new modern mezuzahs that have an oval in the middle or a hole in the middle, and you want to touch dafke the klap, so that's against halacha, you're not allowed to do that." So one thing they quote from this Gemara is that there's such a minhag to touch the mezuzah and the later generations to kiss the mezuzah as you walk in or as you walk out of the house. The other issue that was a great debate was this spiel that Achilles Hager gave to the soldiers. Is this for real? Let's talk about what the idea is behind the mezuzah, that God is represented as saying the mezuzah represents God watching over the Jewish people, and the mezuzah is talking for the purpose of protecting the Jewish people who are in the house, and God stands there. That's what it's all about. Or is that just the spiel that he told them to impress them, to get them to be interested in Judaism? But that has nothing to do with the essence of mezuzah. The idea behind mezuzah is like tefillin, to remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Hashem Echad, remember that he is all powerful, that he's the one who made the Yetzias Mitzrayim, and he can do whatever he wants, and then Mimela we should all follow whatever God dictates happen to be. And if I'll perform the mitzvah mezuzah, like performing the mitzvah of lulav, like performing the mitzvah of krishma and tzitzit, of course I'll get a shmira, I'll be protected. But it's not that's the essence of the mitzvah mezuzah, that it's for the purpose of giving protection. It's not supposed to represent the fact that God is outside and protecting his servants or inside. So this is a major dispute in the Poskim. The Rambam quotes from the Gaonim, from the earlier generations, in the days of the Gaonim, for the days of the Rishonim, that the idea that they took the Gemara as a real reason. They understood that the Yisoid HaMitzvah Mezuzah is to give protection, and that's why they introduced Minhagim, that they added on more things onto the Mezuzah that they understood were also good for Shmira, were also good for protection. And the Rambam is very opposed to this, and he says, you're not allowed to add on anything. Our minhag is that we add on the other side of the Mezuzah. On the side where you have Shema V'Hoyam Shema, you don't add on anything. The minigis, we follow a little bit the minig from the Gemara. You add on things on the outside side of the mezuzah, which does make a difference. So we add on things that are possibly for the purpose of Shmira. And the Rambam says, of course the Shmira. The Mishnahs talk about Shmira. The Shmira, if you keep any mitzvah, you have Shmira. If you bench, if you daven, if you keep all the Ribbono Shel Olam's mitzvahs, you'll be protected by the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's not that's the essence of the mitzvah of mezuzah. They quote in the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch that the Vilna Goyen had another practice. Number one was different from everybody else. His mezuzah was standing erect. It was not in a diagonal position. He said, we follow Rashi Shita, so forget about the Rabbein Atam. You don't have to satisfy the Rabbein Atam by doing something that's only acceptable, but you ever do it, L'chatzilah. Number two, the Vilna Goyen's mezuzah case didn't have a back to it. He was insistent on having this parchment part of the mezuzah touch the door itself. He said that it's not right to have a chatzitza, to have something that's mafsik and separating in between the parchment of the mezuzah and the door itself. So this is what the Pesachim Shuvah quotes on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch. He quotes in the name of the Vilna Goyen. Later Sforim write, they don't think that this is halachically so. They think that it must have been some Kabbalistic reason that prompted the Vilna Goyen to insist on this. They think according to halacha, the Gemara seems to say that it's perfectly okay. Even if you have a back to the case of the mezuzah, it wouldn't pose a problem. Now the Gemara has a discussion regarding when you have to put up the mezuzah. So the Gemara says like this: if I own my home and I don't live there, I own a home and I have 20 rooms and I only use 5 rooms, 15 rooms I don't use, but the rooms that you don't use, you're not chayvim to use. If I own a home and I use the rooms, so those rooms are chayvim from day number one. If I own the house, I'm chayvim mezuzah from the first day. What if I rented a house? I rented an apartment. So the Gemara says, if you rented an apartment, you're only obligated to place a mezuzah after 30 days, if you're living there for 30 days. But if you rented an apartment in Eretz Yisrael, then you're obligated to put a mezuzah from day number one. What is that all about? So the Gemara says, the reason is, Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. What does that mean, Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? So usually people assume Pashup Shad, living in Eretz Yisrael is really living Kavua. You're really living there for, you live in, even if you're only visiting Eretz Yisrael. Living in Chutzla is only temporary, because we're not supposed to be here. We're supposed to be in Eretz Yisrael. So even if we're only visiting in Eretz Yisrael, that's where we really belong. That's really Beis Sefer. So you should put the mezuzah from day number one, Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Living in Chutzla, it's only rented, you're only having mezuzah after 30 days. That's where we usually learn. Rashi does not, usually everybody studies the Gemara with Rashi. Rashi doesn't say like that. Rashi has a very unusual interpretation on the Gemara. He says if a guy rents an apartment in Eretz Yisrael for 2 weeks, he has a ticket to visit for 2 weeks. And you tell him he has to put a mezuzah right away. The mezuzah costs him $35, $50. It keeps on costing more. So he may think twice about coming back to America. He may change his mind because of the $50. Because you're not allowed to take the mezuzah down once you put it up. So he may think twice. He may be encouraged to stay in Eretz Yisrael, not to lose his $50 investment over the mezuzah that he put up. That's a little humorous. I mean, the ticket costs him $950. But because of $50 mezuzah, he's going to stay longer. That's what Rashi says on the Gemara. Whatever it is, that's what it says. If I own a home and I live in a home, so I'm chayv mezuzah from day number one. If I don't own the home, I'm renting. So if it's an Eretz Yisrael, you chayv mezuzah right away, unless it's a hotel. But if I'm renting an apartment, then you chayv mezuzah right away. If you're renting a hotel, you're not chayv right away. And in Chutzal Aretz, you have 30 days to put up the mezuzah. So this is a big question. What is this all about? Why do you have 30 days to put up the mezuzah if you rent it in Chutzal Aretz? So Taisus has two suggestions. How do I understand the Gemara? So the one suggestion in Taisus is that in order to be obligated in the mezuzah, you have to have diras keva. The sukkah, if you build a sukkah, so sukkahs you don't have to put a mezuzah. Machlekes, we passing, you don't have to put a mezuzah because sukkah is diras aroy. It's only temporary. You're only obligated to put a mezuzah if it's a diras keva. So if I own a house and I live in a house that I own, I'm living in my house, that's the diras keva. If I rent a house, it's only diras aroy until I live there for 30 days. That's one suggestion that Taisus gives. Then Taisus, the more accepted opinion, the way it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, is no, that's all wrong. It has nothing to do with diras keva, diras aroy. It's a totally different reason. The Chumash says, achsaftam al mezuzas beisecho or visharecho. So that final chaf beisecho, visharecho, is the possessive. It means that the house belongs to me. So min hatorah, biblically, you're only obligated to put a mezuzah if you own the apartment that you own now. If you don't own the apartment, you're not obligated min hatorah to put a mezuzah. But because of maris ayin, you have to put a mezuzah. Let's say I live in 24 Bennett. The building belongs to somebody. So if you see, if you look at me, look at the landlord also has a beard, also goes with a hat and a nice suit, he looks like me. So if you look at the two of us, you wouldn't know who owns the building. The landlord could walk in sneakers. Sometimes landlords are multimillionaires. They walk in sneakers and torn dungarees. Just because you look at me and you don't think that I own the building doesn't mean that it's not mine. It belongs to somebody. Maybe it belongs to me. So if I only live in a rented apartment for less than 30 days, so there's no maris ayin. Nobody will look at me strangely thinking, he owns an apartment. He doesn't have a mezuzah. Everybody will understand. It doesn't belong to me. It's rented. But if I live there for 30 days, people will probably wonder, hey, what's he doing living so long? It's probably his apartment. He doesn't have a mezuzah. Not right. But because of Maris Ayin, that's what Taisus says. Because of Maris Ayin, that's why you have to put a mezuzah if you live there for more than 30 days. That's why the Abnei Nezer has a famous tshuva, which was a big issue, a big debate in the students in the yeshiva. Let's say the students stay in the dormitory for a whole year. So are they obligated to put the mezuzahs on the dormitory rooms, or is the administration obligated to put it? The students have to pay $50, or does the administration have to pay the $50? So the student said, like the Abnei Nezer said, that the obligation of mezuzah in a rented location is only because of maris ayin. Somebody may think that the building is mine. Nobody will think that the dormitory in Yeshiva University belongs to any of the students. It belongs to the board of directors. It belongs to Yeshiva. It says on it. The Abnei Nezer talks about a hospital. Let's say there's a hospital. So that would anybody in his right mind think the hospital belongs to the patients who are there in the hospital? It says it's a federation hospital. It belongs to the members of the board, whoever owns hospitals. Hospitals are not privately owned. It belongs, we all know, it belongs to the federation. It belongs to the municipality. So the Abnei Nezer says in such a case, The tenants are not chayv to put mezuzah if it's, let's say, the dormitory of the yeshiva. The administration is chayv to put the mezuzah. And the administration always used to tell the students, we don't accept the opinion of the Amidah. We question like the others, that the students is chayv to put the mezuzah. That's the question. So this is the popularly accepted opinion in Shulchan Aruch, that a rented apartment is only chayv and mezuzah midir Rabbanon after 30 days because of Marisai. Rav Leizer Shach writes, he's 102 years old, he lives in Bnei Brak in Eretz Yisrael, he doesn't function anymore, he's a very old man. He used to be the famous Rosh Yeshiva and the Panovich Yeshiva for many, many years. So he wrote, he published several svarim. So one of his svarim, he has the following analysis, which others have said independently also. It seems to be a very good analysis. He quotes what some earlier commentators of the Kivega write. Why do you say that if it's a rented apartment, there's no biblical obligation, because the Chumash only says, why do you say that a rented apartment is not yours? I rented it, so I have the right to it. No one else has the right to use the apartment. It should be shalcho. With the chok, it is shalcho. So he quotes, Rav Leizer Shach quotes Rabbi Akiva Eiger, who writes, Rabbi Akiva Eiger lived in the early 1800s, Rabbi Akiva Eiger writes, that the Gemara says that Tzchiras lo kani. Halachically, if you rent an apartment, you're not considered the bali. If you rent a cow, let's say I'm a kohen, I'm allowed to feed trumas and my behemoth, but if I rent a cow from someone else, it's not called my cow, it's called his cow. So the Kivega says that's nice in the days of the Gemara, that you say Tzchiras lo kani. When you rent an apartment, you're not called the bali. The Tesis is quoted in Lahaloch and Shulchan Aruch in a totally different context, in a different place in Shulchan Aruch. The Tesis says that this man is there, since he followed in the Malchusa, so we say that Tchiris is kind. That let's say the landlord can never evict me. Let's say the landlord's house burns down. Khalidah. Have a nice landlord. Let's say his house should burn down and he's sitting in the cold. A landlord lives in New Jersey. His house burns down and he's sitting in the cold. So in the days of the Gemara, he would have the right to evict me even I didn't violate anything. I lived up to all the rules and regulations of the contract. So that's why we say that Tchiris lo kanya, because I'm not really the balabos. The landlord is the balabos. But today, the landlord can never evict the tenant, even if his house was blown away by the wind. The Tosha says that his man is every father, the din and Malchusa, and we would say that Tchiris is kanya. So Rabbi Leizer Shach says, once he says Tchiris is kanya today, then you chayv and mezuzah from day number one, menatar. So he says that today, when you rent an apartment, you don't have a 30-day grace period. He says you're obligated to put the mezuzah from the very first day. Others are of the opinion that, so you see, according to the other view in Tosfos, even a rented house is also obligated in mezuzah and a Torah, but it's only a diras haroi. If I own the house, it's considered living in the house from day number one, it's diras keva. If I rent the house, it's only diras haroi until I live there for 30 days. So others would insist, no, you're still not obligated in mezuzah until the 30th day, because it's only a diras haroi. Because of this machlokes, and many people have their, Moshe Feinstein has this a little bit, many people have the practice that when you rent an apartment, you put the mezuzah right away from day number one without a bracha, because maybe you're not really obligated to put a mezuzah yet till the 31st day. And then you wait till the 31st day, you take down the mezuzah, you put it up again, and then you say the bracha. Because then you know for sure that you're obligated in the mezuzah. In fact, many had the practice, for generations, many people had the practice, even if you rent an apartment, you're not obligated, you have a 30-day grace period. If you don't want to, you don't have to. So put up the mezuzah from the first day. Why not be a tzaddik, put up the mezuzah from the very first day, and say a bracha, what can be the shayla? So the monkey wrench was thrown in by the Minchas Chinuch, who just lived 150 years ago, around 1850 or so, the late 1800s. He writes the possibility that if you put up the mezuzah within 30 days, you're not yaitzeh. It's no good. Why? Because the Gemara has a din of tasa, the loy min ha'asui. Means like this. Let's say I put a mezuzah, they're in the middle of building my beautiful home. I have contractors in the building home. They didn't put on the roof yet. So I put on the mezuzah, I have the frame of the door, I have all the walls, they didn't put the roof yet. So if I put the mezuzah and then they put the roof, so it's puffle. Because I put the mezuzah at a time that it wasn't yet a house, it wasn't yet chayv and mezuzah. If they already put the roof on, then it's already chayv and mezuzah, so then you can put the mezuzah. Or for example, the Rambam's opinion is, we don't follow this Rambam, the Rambam's opinion is that if you have a frame of a door that doesn't have a door attached to it, you're not chayv and mezuzah. Many people have like that, going from room to room, you have a frame of a door, but there is no door, it's just an open passageway. But the Rambam's opinion is that if there's no door, you're not obligated in mezuzah, and he gets it from the Gemara. One of the Balabatim asked one of the Amoraim, the story is related in the Gemara Menachos, he asked him, Rabbi, can you come to my home and show me where do you put the mezuzah? Right side, left side, what are you supposed to do? But the rabbi said, first put up the doors, and then I'll tell you where you put the mezuzah. So the Rambam says, you see from the Gemara, that if you don't have a door, you're not obligated to put a mezuzah. And if you put the mezuzah before you have the obligation, it would be possible because of the tzav alay min ha'asa. The rabbi disagrees with the Rambam and says, no, that's not what it means. We said before that there are five rules and regulations to determine which side you put the mezuzah, right side, left side. So after the first four, the fifth rule was, if you have a door, does it go, do you push the door in, or do you pull it out? So that's what the rabbi told the Balbos. First put up the doors, and then I'll be able to pass them the shayla. Before you put the doors, I may not be able to pass them, because I may be missing, the first four rules may not apply, and I'll need the fifth rule. But first, do me a favor, first put the doors, I'll be able to pass them using the fifth rule. So that's the opinion that we follow. But we see from that Gemara that there is a problem of tassav lemonazah. If you put the mezuzahs up at a time that it's absolutely not tied to the mezuzah yet, so it's possible you have to take it down later and put it up again. So that's why the Minhas Chinuch raises such a possibility that if you put the mezuzah within 30 days, he thinks that maybe it's no good, you got to take it down and put it up again. You want it to be a tzaddik. You want it to do a midas chasidus. You have a 30-day grace period, but you don't want to use that grace period. You want to put the mezuzah from the first night that you move in and say a bracha. So the Minhas Chinuch suggests maybe it's possible, maybe you need 30 days that it should be a diras keva. If you put the mezuzah when it's only diras aroi, maybe not yet to the mitzvah. I remember when one of the students showed this Minhas Chinuch to Rabbi Soloveitchik. Rabbi Soloveitchik used to love the Minhas Chinuch. As a child, he finished the whole Minhas Chinuch before his bar mitzvah, which is quite a feat. Because Minhas Chinuch has discussions on all the 613 mitzvahs, and he quotes from all over the Talmud, all over the Shulchan Aruch. So as a little child, he finished, that's what he told the students, he finished the whole Minhas Chinuch. He said he used to disobey his mother. When he was a little boy, his mother said that he has to go to sleep, and he used to take the Minhas Chinuch under the blanket and learn in bed. And he didn't go to sleep. He was going to show his mother who's what. So he didn't listen, and he used to learn Minhas Chinuch. So he used to love the Minhas Chinuch. But every so often, the Minhas Chinuch was a Galician, he was from Tarnopol. So every so often, he would have something that Rabbi Soloveitchik wouldn't like, so he said, Porta Galician. The Litvak never helped in the way the Galician says. Whenever there was something he didn't like, he would be critical. So when one of the students showed him this about the mezuzah, that if you put the mezuzah within 30 days, it's tassav lemonazah. So first he started to live, and it was uncontrollable. And then after a couple of moments, he thought, maybe it's not so bad. It started to grow, and maybe he's right. Maybe it's talking no good. Maybe it is a problem of tassav lemonazah. So that's what some are medactic about that if you move into an apartment, Rav Leizer Shach says you don't have the grace period anymore because today chivus kanya, so today it's an obligation and not turn, not just because of marisai. So you should put the mezuzah really right away from the first day on. But then on the 31st day, maybe you should take it down and put it up again, and then say the bracha in order that it shouldn't be a violation of tassav lemon ha'asim. Every so often when you have the painters come, so let's say you have non-Jewish painters, and you give them instructions they should not paint over the mezuzah because they may ruin the parsha, the parchment, under the case. They can ruin the case also. So let's say I leave instructions, when you get to each room, take down the mezuzah and then paint, and then after you finish, put back the mezuzah the same way it was before. So let's say if you have non-Jewish painters who hang up the mezuzah, is that okay or not? Is there a din that the mezuzah has to be nailed on by a Jew? The tefillin has to be prepared by Jews. Not only the writing, even the sewing, the stitching, the bottom, the making of the bottom has to be made in Shmor, that has to be made by a Jew, has a shaykhus with the mitzvah. A non-Jew is not obligated in the mitzvah, cannot create in Shmor. Even a woman who's not obligated to wear tefillin cannot make tefillin, because whoever is not obligated to perform that mitzvah, the halacha says that such a person cannot create in Shmor. So the question is, what about mezuzah? Is there anything wrong with a non-Jew who puts up a mezuzah? So this is a dispute in the Achronim. And not sure, I remember one of the students, when we were studying this in Yeshiva, one of the students asked Rabbi Soloveitchik, thought, because it happened in the dormitory. Then they painted the dormitory, and the goyim took down the mezuzah. Then the goyim put back the mezuzah. They put it right. They put upside up and downside down. So he thought, and he said, he doesn't know. Good child. He can't think of any riots in the Gemara one way or the other. He doesn't know. And in the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch, there's a dispute. There are some who say that a non-Jew who puts out the mezuzah is no good, and they jump to the conclusion that even though women are obligated in mezuzah, a woman who lives alone, or many women live in an apartment, they're obligated to have a mezuzah. But just like the Gemara says, a woman cannot write the mezuzah, because the two psukim are adjacent next to each other. It says, "Achsaftim al mezuzah beisach b'sherech," is right next to the pasuk, "Shartim lo sal yedecha, v'hoyu l'tetoch es bein enecha." So the Chachamim understand that Chumash Devarim, psukim that are adjacent to each other, that called smuchim, are related to each other. We assume in Chumash Devarim only, that there's a connection between Pasuk Aleph and Beis, Pasuk Beis and Gimel, Pasuk Gimel and Dalet. Each set of psukim are connected with each other. So these two psukim are adjacent to each other to indicate that women who are not obligated to wear tefillin are not kosher for writing mezuzahs. Even though the women are obligated to have a mezuzah, the woman cannot write her own mezuzah. So some are of the opinion that a woman cannot even nail up her own mezuzah, because nailing up the mezuzah has the same requirements as writing a mezuzah. And since women cannot write the mezuzah, so women cannot nail the mezuzah either. That is not the accepted opinion. That's 95% of the poskim, or maybe 98% of the poskim, do not accept that opinion. But with the shayla by Rabbi Soloveitchik was, if a goy nails up the mezuzah, would that be good enough? So that's a dispute among the poskim. Let's say I move into an apartment that already has mezuzahs from the previous tenant. So do I recite the bracha? So the Mogen Avraham in Orach Chaim writes, yes, yeah, now I'm fulfilling a new mitzvah, but you can't say a bracha asher kedushon ben mitzvot zohar. The kvoya mezuzah to attach the mezuzah that's already attached. So he composed his own bracha. He says, if you move into a house that has mezuzahs already, you recite a bracha asher kedushon ben mitzvot zohar. Lo dur babayi sheyesh ben mezuzah. God commanded us to live in a house that has mezuzahs. So the later Achronim and Yerideya, the Birkei Yosef, the Chibur disagrees on two accounts. Number one, who gave the Mogen Avraham the right to compose his own brachas? So all the brachas have to be composed by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. So this is not, this bracha never existed, and he has no right to compose his own Nusach HaBrach. It's not so convincing, that argument. It could be that the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah didn't have to compose every bracha. They said you have to say a bracha before you're about to fulfill a mitzvah. When you move into a house, you're about to fufill a mitzvah. So the bracha, you put the shayla into a machine, the computer spits out the bracha. You don't need that shiknes agadol. Maybe the computer can form into bracha for you. But that's not so convincing, that argument. But the second argument that he gives, that's the generally accepted argument. He says one only recites a bracha and one is doing a maisa hamitzvah. Not if you're doing a kiyama mitzvah. Let's say I don't feel well and I ask you, do me a favor, please nail on the mezuzah on my house. So I'm in fulfillment of the mitzvah mezuzah. You who nail it on, you're fulfilling the mitzvah of milas chatzarim. You do me a big taiva because I don't feel well and I'm not up to it. I can't put up the mezuzah. But you don't fulfill the mitzvah mezuzah. You're fulfilling the mitzvah milas chatzarim in al machaber. And I'm in fulfillment of the mitzvah of having mezuzah. Who says the bracha? The one who does the nailing on the mezuzah. The one who nails on the mezuzah says the bracha. Not asher kesham chasus the one who kedug milas chatzarim. No, he says the bracha lekvoya mezuzah, because brachas are dependent on the one who does the maisa mitzvah. It doesn't depend on the one who has the kima mitzvah, fulfilling the mitzvah, but rather the one who does the maisa mitzvah. So the Mogen Avraham doesn't accept this premise. The Mogen Avraham writes it another place. Let's say a woman didn't bench lift, and it's already late on Friday afternoon, it's already after sunset, and the house is going to be pitch black, it's going to be dark in the house, but it's not yet Seisa Kuchavim, it's only Ben Ashmosh's time. So the Mogen Avraham says, based on the Shulchan Aruch, you're permitted to ask a non-Jew to light candles in the house. It's only Be'ah Shmashis. You're allowed to have Amir and Achri. And the Balabaster will recite the brachas when the goy lights the candles for her. So the poskim all disagree with that. They say, never heard of such a thing. You don't recite a Bichas HaMitzvah because you're in fulfillment of the mitzvah. You only recite a Bichas HaMitzvah if you actually do the Maisa HaMitzvah. The Magen Avraham doesn't agree. He thinks that the one who has the Kiyum HaMitzvah recites the brachas. We haven't accepted that it's in it.
Yeah.
But you can't. No, the Moyle says the bracha.
So why not the kasha?
Good kasha. You're going to have a lot of kasha. That's why we don't accept that position of the Mogen Avraham. Basically, these are the rules and regulations of mezuzah. Okay? And if one fulfills mezuzah, he certainly has a shmirah. It doesn't necessarily mean that that is the essence of the mitzvah. It generally assumed like the Rambam. That is not the essence of the mitzvah. But the Talmud does say, when you wear tefillin, you have a shmirah. When you put a mezuzah, you certainly have a shmirah.
Mm-hmm.
In the Shulchan Aruch, the Rishonim gave two different reasons. That's the Gemara at the end of Bar Mitzvah. When a Jew moves out of an apartment and he knows that another Jew is going to move in, if the landlord is not Jewish, or even if the landlord is Jewish, I don't know who's going to be the next tenant. Next tenant may be a non-Jew, maybe a non-observant Jew is going to take the mezuzah and throw it out. But then I'm not permitted to leave the mezuzah. I must take down the mezuzah. But if I know who the next tenant is, and he's going to move in very soon, and no one's going to be mevaza any of the mezuzahs, but then the Gemara says, you're supposed to leave the mezuzahs, they're not allowed to take them down. So there are two explanations that are given. One explanation is that maybe the new tenant will not have a mezuzah available with him, and he'll be lacking shmira. The Gemara says that mezuzah gives shmira to the tenant. It doesn't say in the Gemara that that is the idea, that is the essence of the mitzvah. It just says that if you have a mezuzah, you will be protected. It gives shmira to the person. So we're concerned if I'll take down the mezuzah, the new fellow may not have his mezuzah ready yet, so I may be taking away the shmira from the other fellow. The other reason that's given by the commentaries on the Gemara is that as long as the mezuzah is on the doorpost, it's serving a function of fulfilling a mitzvah. Someone is fulfilling a mitzvah thereby. Once you take down the mezuzah, so you're mevatel the mitzvah, it's not serving the purpose of fulfilling any mitzvah. So you're not allowed to take down the mezuzah because it's a bizoyin to the mezuzah. Not so much that you're taking away the shmira from the next tenant, but rather that it's a bizoyin to the mezuzah that it's no longer serving the role of helping somebody fulfill a mitzvah. So there are going to be big differences between these two. Let's say I'm taking down the mezuzah and I'm going to go straight. I'm moving with the moving van. I'm going to put the mezuzah in another 2 hours. I'm going to put the mezuzah on a new location where I'm moving in with the kids, with all the furniture. I'm going to put it right away. So if you're only concerned about being mevatel the mezuzah from its mitzvah. So after I move out, no one's going to be living in the house anyway for a couple of hours. The new tenant is not going to move in the next 2 hours. The other opposite, if I take the mezuzah with me and I nail it on in a new location, I'm mechabed the mezuzah, it will be serving the purpose of mitzvah in my new location. So then it should be mutter, but you still have to be concerned about taking away the shmira from the old tenant. So that's why some poskim say, well, let's say I have like this. Let's say I have $55 mezuzahs in this old house where I'm moving out. I have very expensive mezuzahs. These are mahadrim and a mahadrim. I want to take my fancy shmensi mezuzahs to the new location and I'll buy cheap mezuzahs for $20. I'll just barely be yotzeh to give the new tenant shmira. I'm not mechuyav to give him such a shmira meula. I'll give him a shmira klusa. So I'll buy $20 mezuzahs to replace the old one. I'll take the old ones with me, so I have satisfied both considerations. I'm not mevatel the mezuzah mimitzvasa. I'm taking it from this door. I'm putting it right away in another 2 hours. It'll be on my new apartment. And I'm not leaving the new tenant without any shmira. Before I leave, I take down the mezuzah. Before I leave, I put on the new cheap mezuzah, so he's going to have shmira also. So both considerations are taken care of, so it should be okay. So some rabbanim takadu say it's okay. They say that the old Rabbi Groy is a chum rabbi used to pass them again. So if the people had fancy mezuzahs on the doors, they want to move, so they can buy cheaper mezuzahs that are kosher though, and leave them on the old apartment. Most of the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch say that even though you've satisfied both opinions, they recommend you shouldn't do it. Because in the days of the Gemara, they didn't take down mezuzahs, so you should leave the mezuzah. But if it's really a big loss of money, so you can be making. But then if you have a right to ask the new tenant to pay you for the mezuzah. Just because you have to leave him doesn't mean you have to shank him a matah. You send him a bill and you tell him he's supposed to pay you the mezuzah. Very good.
Thank you very much, Shachter. Again, the next, well, the schedule for the next...